buy and have it in store so that others will not have access to it. But God says, whosoever will believe in this begotten Son, that person will not perish. Rather, he or she would have eternal life, everlasting life. So love the world that he gave. The world so tells of the degree of the love, that God kind of love, which is agape love, and is followed with or by a result God gave. It is said that you cannot truly love without giving. However, you can give without loving. I leave that as food for thought for you, or to go and research if it is true or not. God so loved the world that he gave his greatest gift, that is his Son, for the redemption of humanity. Sometimes the gift we give endure for just a few days, some a few months, and some a few years. We do know that some of these gifts cost us just a few naira, and some could actually cost us some huge amount. But on the day of the first Christmas, God gave to humanity a priceless gift. And that leads us to a subject of discussion next morning: God's greatest gift. Like what one of the choir members rightly told us before they took their song, that the greatest gift you can give to anyone is Jesus. And that is the gift that God gave to humanity. This greatest gift also brings the means of the greatest miracle. Bible scholars had adjudged that the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. You can have the miracle, you have no money, and you prayed and money came. Oh, what a miracle. You're on the road traveling and something evil almost happened. You cried unto God and God averted it. Wonderful miracle. You were so sick that it was like any moment you would give up the ghost. And you cried unto God from the depth of your heart, and God heard you and gave you life. Oh, wonderful. That is a miracle. But in all of this, careful study of God's word had made us understand that the greatest miracle ever is the miracle of salvation. Let me ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, do you have this greatest miracle? Say, neighbor, do you have this greatest miracle? God gave us this greatest gift so that the greatest miracle can be our portion. And so, if you are in the house under the sound of my voice and you've not had this greatest miracle, something is wrong somewhere. You need to have this Jesus, this greatest gift that God gave to humanity. And it is in your receiving this greatest gift that will bring this greatest miracle. And when this miracle takes place in your life, you become a new man. You become someone that heaven will celebrate. You become a vessel that will cause joy in heaven, because that is what God intended this greatest gift to bring to humanity. That takes also a few subheadings where we'll look at a topic and will be done. The person of this gift. The Lord Jesus is the gift that we are talking about here. And here we see how he's being referred to in his full name, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, I see, can you help us with us? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform digs. That's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The birth of this Savior, the birth of the Messiah, the greatest gift ever humanity had received from heaven, was prophesied so many years in the Old Testament before we have the fulfillment in the New Testament. Let's see Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Jesus Christ, this greatest gift we are talking about, is the promised Shiloh. Quickly, let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and verse 26. Daniel chapter 9. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in the troublesome time, verse 26. And after these 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, the solution are determined. All these are spoken about this wonderful gift that we are talking about. Of course, scholars had said that the book of Daniel is the Old Testament book of Revelation. Jesus is the promised Messiah. And when the time comes, God had to send this Messiah. God had to give this greatest gift to humanity. And it was for a purpose that we shall see quickly in no distant time. God had wonderful plans when he made man. He wanted, he desired real fellowship with humanity. But Adam, which scholars refer to as the first Adam, messed it up in the Garden of Eden. And after that, God had a plan to ensure that humanity restored back to him. So many prophets of old spoke about it, but at the fullness of time, this greatest gift was made manifest to humanity. And like I mentioned, it is for a purpose. And that takes us to a second subheading, the purpose of this gift. Here we need to consider the purpose of this wonderful gift that we are considering this morning. Miles Monroe of blessed memory once said, if the purpose of a thing is unknown, abuse becomes inevitable. The greatest gift of God was given for the redemption of humanity. Let's see Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, look at the 10th verse. Luke chapter 19. There we see Jesus Christ declaring his manifesto. Say, for the Son of Man has not come to seek, for the Son of Man has come, sorry, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the manifesto of Jesus, and he declared it in clear terms that this is what he has come to do. This greatest gift that God gave to humanity was to bring salvation to humanity. We need to note the significance of Christ's incarnation here. The incarnation is the act by which God became man in the person of Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of the virgin birth. God did this through Christ for some significant reasons, and some of them are as follows. Number one, to reveal God to man. Time will not permit us to take all of the scriptures. John chapter 1 verse 18. To reveal what God intended man to be like. We can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. To speak to man through his son. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Can we take that of the Hebrews? Let's take that of the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Our fathers in time past were spoken to by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. To accomplish God's redemptive plan with regard to sin. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Let's see Hebrews 2 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. This is the essence of the incarnation of the Son of God. God's justice and holiness required a one-time perfect sacrifice for sin, and only God in the person of man could make that sacrifice for the sins of man. Hence, he sent his son to die for us. If we do not understand the essence of Christmas, we will likely abuse it. Jesus is the reason for the season. And that is why we must ask ourselves again and again, if this Jesus that was celebrated at Christmas is indeed born in our hearts. If it is not, then you are just wasting your time. Then you are celebrating what you don't know. Like those people in Athens who dedicated their temple to the unknown God. Christmas is not the time to quarrel about what to eat and what to put on, as we see happening in some homes. It is not the time to spend all we have at once because of Christmas celebration, as we see happening in our neighborhood. It is not the time to throw a party that will involve orgies, that is, excessive indulgence in a specified activity, a drinking spree. On the eve of Christmas, some will so soak themselves in alcohol that they will lose their sense of belonging. Some will be picked from the gutter. Some will sleep under the bridge. Some, having soaked themselves with all kinds of alcohol, will jump into their cars and drive themselves into untimely death. All in the mood of celebration. It is not the time to fight to destroy lives and properties. It is not the time to spend extravagantly on gifts. Jesus is the reason for the season, and Jesus is this greatest gift of God that he gave to humanity that we are talking about. God so loved. When he so loved, he gave. And the essence of this giving is to ensure that humanity is restored back to him. And so at the first Christmas, when the message came to the shepherd, they rejoiced. Say, let's go and see these things that the angel had told us about. And they worship. Wise men saw the star And they traced the star down to Jerusalem until they got to where this baby Jesus was laid, and they worshipped him. And scripture even recorded, and they gave gifts, three wonderful gifts, very symbolic in nature. Gold for his kingship. Incense, because he is a priest. Am I that is given to prepare the one to die. And so, in all our celebration, we must know that we are celebrating something that God did to humanity many years ago. Oh, I wish you were here in the morning when we had our prayers. Part of the message was preached by my brother Solomon in the morning in the course of our prayers. Jesus, this greatest gift, was sent to humanity so that we will have the light of life. Let me ask your neighbor again. Say, neighbor, neighbor, do you have the light of life? Do you have Jesus in your life? Jesus is this greatest gift we are talking about. And he is the light of life. And when he came, those who dwelt in darkness saw a mighty light, and their lives were transformed. Has your life been transformed by this gift that we are talking about? Or are you one of the persons who just celebrate for the sake of celebration? If you belong to that category, I want you to have a rethink. And today you make up your mind that this Jesus that I have been celebrating all these years, let him be born in my heart in this season. And if that happens, that will be the greatest thing ever that has happened in your life. How do we profit in this gift? You must receive this God's greatest gift into your life. That is, you must be born again. That is when it becomes meaningful. To every gift, there are two basic things you can do to a gift. Either you accept a gift that is presented, or you say, no, thank you. Of course, this is not a gift you can just ignore or wave aside and go scot-free at the end of the day. That is for another day. However, I must remind us that this greatest gift that God had given to humanity, for anyone who refuses to accept this gift, that fellow will one day stand before this gift as judge. It is our prayers that every one of us under the sound of my voice will have this greatest gift of God to humanity, that on that day when we stand before him, we'll be glad indeed we received him, the greatest gift ever God had given to humanity. And I pray that will be in our portion in the name of Jesus. You must be born again. To be born again is nothing less than being converted, turned around from sin. It is being born again by the Spirit of God. Until this happens, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We must be born to newness of life. This can only be done by being washed in the blood of Jesus. Have you been washed by his blood? This Yuletide season, this season of celebration, scripture says he is the Prince of Peace. But how many people, how many lives today have this Prince of Peace resident in their life? How many persons who are celebrating today can say, indeed, I have a cordial relationship with this gift of God that he has given to humanity that we are celebrating today? You must have a relationship with him before your celebration can be meaningful. A beloved brother, James Ibori, when he was in prison, I remember I was in Iwori that day. People came to my August office to print banner for the celebration of his birthday. While he was away in the country, away from the country, people were celebrating his birthday. Those are his close associates. Those are people either by party affiliation or whatever, have some sort of relationship with him. But today we are talking about the birth of the Savior of the whole world. Do you have a relationship with this Savior? Or just take it as it's holiday time. That time, on that day, no work. So you just have fun. Go to the beach, celebrate. Jesus is the reason for the season. Shall we rise up to pray? If you have not received God's greatest gift into your heart, stroke life, then you are still a lost sinner whose celebration of Christmas is in vain. Let Jesus be born in your heart. He is the reason for the season. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Has Jesus come into your heart? If Jesus has come into your heart, then your celebration will be meaningful. But if you are in this hall this morning and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, can you raise your hand? We'll pray with you. That will be the greatest thing ever that has happened in this season. Beyond the drinking and the partying and all of that, if you have not received Jesus into your life, can you raise your hand wherever you are standing? God's servant will pray with you so that this Prince of Peace will be born indeed in your heart. So that peace Scripture talks about, that it passes the understanding of men, will be in your heart. But if everyone in the hall, if you have accepted him, to him alone be the glory. That means you know what you are celebrating. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift, this greatest gift ever. Scripture told us that you so loved humanity, you so loved man that you created, and you gave to him the expression of your love to humanity, that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Oh Lord, our Father, we ask anyone in this place of worship whose heart has not been transformed by this greatest gift to humanity, we ask, Lord, may your light of salvation shine into that life today. In the name of Jesus, I as many that the devil had targeted to ruin in the name of Christmas celebration would decree, Lord, let there be a mighty deliverance in the name of Jesus. Save your people. Keep your own. May we celebrate meaningfully. May we know that Jesus, you are the reason for the season. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, may the purpose of these gifts be accomplished in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that indeed, as we receive this gift, we will have fellowship with you. This gift will speak to us. Scripture told us in time past you spoke to men via the prophets. But in our time, you decide to speak to us through your Son. May your redemptive plan be accomplished in the life of everyone in this place in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to identify with us. Thank you for coming to save us from our sins. Thank you for coming to deliver us from darkness. Thank you for coming to restore our fellowship back to God. On that day, we'll rejoice with you by and by. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Abba Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray.